أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأولية الابتداء ولا لأزلية الانقضاء وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كل معرفته ورضعت عظمته الأبول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد الفتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعدها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولله لساقت الأرض بأحدها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. فقال الله أيضا: يا أيها الذين هادوا إن زعمتم أنكم أولياء لله فتمنوا الموت إن كنتم صادقين. وقال أمير المؤمنين عليه الصلاة والسلام: أكسروا ذكر هادم اللذات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Oh our Lord, don't make us inclined towards falsehood after you guided us towards haq. And provide us rahmat from your behalf. Certainly you are of giving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who guides, and we pray to Allah to provide us all those awamil and factors which are instrumental for our spiritual success and good ending of our life. We are discussing in these nights the ingredients of the spiritual success, and tonight is the turn for the Qaf of Allah. That means loving the death which is called meeting with Allah. Our religion Islam teaches us that remembering the time of our death is not only a means of sawab and reward on the day of judgment, but it helps us to become spiritually successful and to earn the divine pleasure. It has been a constant tradition of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam
and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, that they used to talk about death every now and then. And Quran is very clear where Allah says, addressing to the Jews, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ هَادُوا إِنْ زَعَمْتُمْ أَنَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ لِلَّهِ. Allah is saying to the Jews, if you think you are beloved servants of Allah, in other words, فَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتَ, then wish the death. إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, if you are truth tellers. So the test of a person who claims that I love Allah is that whether or not a person is ready to embrace his Lord. We as believers should be always prepared, and not just prepared, but feel happy and rejoiced for having the opportunity to meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And death is a time where we get that opportunity. Although our religion is teaching us to empower ourselves in our lives before the time of death arrives, that we can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the realities of our iman, obviously not through the physical eyes, because Allah is not a body. Our eyes, our physical eyes, can only see some of the bodies, some of the things. We have a very limited reach of our vision, just like we have a limited reach of our hearing powers, and we can listen to this much decibels to this much decibels only. But we actually witness Allah through the realities of our iman. Just like Maulal Kainat wa Sabita Amirul Mu'mineen wa Imamul Muttaqeen.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Says in his statement, when somebody asked him, هَلْ رَأَيْتَ رَبَّكَ, did you see your Lord? And Imam alayhi salam replied, لَمْ أَعْبُدْ رَبًّا لَمْ أَرَهُ, I did not worship a Lord that I did not see. That means our Mawla is saying that I saw and worshipped. And then he elaborated himself, لَمْ تَرَهُ الْعُيُونُ بِمُشَاهَدَةِ الْعِيَانِ, it's not the eyes that see Allah with the physical seeing, in other words, but وَلَكِنْ رَأَتْهُ الْقُلُوبُ, أو بَلْ وَلَكِنْ رَأَتْهُ الْقُلُوبُ بِحَقَائِقِ الْإِيمَانِ, but the souls see Him through the realities of the faith. And he says that مَا رَأَيْتُ شَيْئًا إِلَّا وَرَأَيْتُ اللَّهَ قَبْلَهُ وَبَعْدَهُ وَمَعَهُ وَفِيهِ, I did not see a thing except that I saw Allah before seeing that thing and after seeing that thing, alongside that thing and in that thing. He says salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Haydari!
Ya Ali!
Also, so not only we learn by now that our religion is expecting from the believers to see Allah through the realities of the iman and faith, in addition to that, our religion is also expecting from the believers that we die before we die. Because our beloved Prophet sallallahu
alaihi wasallam said,
"Mutu qabla an tamutu," die before you die. So we are supposed to die before the time of death arrives. What a beautiful statement. Although every statement of his is equally beautiful. So we learn in the light of this hadith that we are supposed to put ourselves to the same scenarios which we will face at the time of death. We put ourselves to the same situations voluntarily before we are forcibly subjected to those scenarios at the time of death. So what happens in the time of death is that our soul departs the body. So we detach our souls from all the attachments of the world of matter, and body also belongs to the world of matter. We voluntarily detach our souls from every temporary attachment of the world of matter. Our soul is subjected to accountability after death. So we voluntarily put our soul to accountability ourselves before we die. Our soul is witnessing the haqa'iq and realities after death. So we clean our souls and do the taharat at-tathir al-qalb and tazkiyat al-nafs, cleaning of our souls, so we empower our spiritual vision to start looking into the realities of the heavens and earth, malakut al-samawat wal-arz, just like the soul will forcibly end up seeing the realities after death. Mutu qabla an tamutu, die before you die. If we end up seeing the realities that everybody sees at the time of death, we start seeing the angel of death. Isn't that right? Angel is not visible otherwise, because it belongs to the world of hidden realities. So we start seeing the angel of death. And that's not we start seeing some of the angels, we start seeing the heaven, we start seeing the hell fire. Isn't that right? And several other realities. So that's not a big deal, brothers and sisters, that a person ends up seeing those realities at the time of death, because at the time of death, even a disbeliever ends up seeing those things. So that does not distinguish a mu'min from a kafir, because at that stage, we are all at the same page. What distinguishes us as believers and makes us reach the higher level of spiritual cleanliness and perfection is when we empower our souls to see those realities before we reach the time of death in our lifetimes. That shows our kamal and perfection of the soul. And this is going to happen when we love our death and disconnect ourselves from attachments of this dunya. And that's what we are discussing tonight, as one of those factors that provides, that helps us to ensure our spiritual success. That means loving liqa'ullah. Loving, meeting with Allah. Loving the death. Our imams were like this. Imam Ali alayhi salam
talked to Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Nahjul Balagha informed us that Imam Ali alayhi salam was there in the outskirts of the city of Kufa, and he started to talk to the graves. He is addressing the graves by saying, Ya ahl al-diyar al-muhisha wal-mahal al-mukfira wal-qubur al-mudlima. Oh, you who are living in scary houses and dark graves, Antum lana faratun sabiq. You are the group that went ahead of us. Wa nahnu lakum taba'un lahiq. And we are the ones who are about to join you. Amma dur faqad sukinat. As far as your houses go, that is the news about your houses where you used to live in, faqad sukinat. That means your houses have been occupied by others. You are no longer there in your own houses. The houses where you used to live, the news about your houses is that you are no longer there, it's occupied by someone else. أَمَّلْ أَسْوَاجْ فَقَدْ نُكِحَتْ. As far as your spouses go, they have been married to someone else. وأما الأموال فقد قسمت. As far as your wealth, money goes, it has been distributed. That means gone in the hands of somebody else. هذا ما خبر علم عندنا. That's the news that we have about you. Do you have any news about us? فما خبر ما عندكم. What's the news that you have about us? ثم التفت عليه السلام إلى أصحابه. Then he turned around. He paid attention towards his أصحاب and companions. And he said, أَمَا لَوْ أُذِنَ لَهُمْ فِي الْكَلَامِ. If they were allowed to speak, لَأَخْبَرُوكُمْ, they would have informed you certainly, أَنَّ خَيْرَ زَادَ التَّقْوَى, that the best thing that you can carry with you is taqwa and piety. He says, Sarwa.
اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ.
He himself is the person who had already announced his policy. Wallahi labna Abi Talib Anas bin Maut bin al-Tifli bisadhi ummihi. I swear to Allah, the son of Abu Talib is more familiar to death than a baby towards the breast of his mother. Imam Ali Islam is more familiar than that. Look at how much he's familiar and ma'noos towards the death. That's how the followers of Imam Ali Islam need to be as well. So when in the battles we find Imam Ali Islam, the dira, in Farsi we say the zira, the body armor that he used to wear in the battles was only one-sided, that means something in the front only, and it had nothing at the back. Because that kind of armor, why would Imam Ali al-Salam even bother to wear a body armor in the battle where there is some metal on the back but he doesn't have to run away from the battlefield?
Nare Haidari! Baba Ali Bulan Salat!
Those who are afraid to turn their backs towards their enemies and run away, they deserve to wear a body armor on both the sides. Imam Ali Islam is not afraid of death. The armor that he used to wear was only one-sided in the front. This shows how much he's ready and prepared. He's always ready for death. Because he's always ready to meet his mahbub and beloved, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't that right? Every mahbub, in kuntum tuhibbun Allah, so every mahbub loves to meet the beloved. And not just that, but our urafa say, if we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it means that naturally it means that we love everything of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and just like a true lover does, we would love to be talked about Allah. So everything which is related to Allah, we would love to hear that somebody comes and mentions Allah in front of us.
Awaji bulan salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And the zikr of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, brothers and sisters, is the mention and zikr of Allah, because Prophet himself has said, zikru Ali ibn Abi Talib ibadatun. The mention of Ali ibn Talib is the ibadat and worship of Allah.
Allahumma
salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Are takbir.
Allahu akbar.
Are risalat.
Ya Rasulullah.
Are haydari.
Ya Ali.
The hadith says zikru Ali ibadatun. That's the actual text of the hadith. So zayyinu majalisakum bi zikri Ali ibn Abi Talib. Adore, beautify your gatherings with the remembrance of Ali ibn Abi Talib. So when we man zakarakum faqad zakara Allah azza wa jal. Whoever remembers you has remembered Allah. This is precisely because of the fact that everything that Mawla Amirul Mumineen alayhi salam has done in his life was for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was fana fillah. He was basically drowned in Allah's zat and essence. So when he is reflecting Allah in all his names and attributes, and every action of his life is entirely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so it makes perfect sense that when we talk about Allah, we talk about Imam Ali al-Islam, we are actually mentioning Allah.
This is what the status of Ahlul Bayt is. So remembering the Prophet and those personalities, and we rightfully believe that Imam Ali appears at the time of death, because he has mentioned to his companion Haris al-Hamdani, from the Hamdan is the name of a tribe of Shias in Yemen. And Haris al-Hamdani was belonging, one of the members of that tribe. This tribe was full of the lovers of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So Haris al-Hamdani, so Imam Ali alayhi salam has said to Haris al-Hamdani, Ya Har al-Hamdan, because Haris had said to Imam Ali alayhi salam that I'm afraid of two things. One is at the time when I am crossing the bridge of Sirat. This is what Haris al-Hamdani was afraid of. And one is the time when the soul is taken out. We call it Sakaratul Maut, Nasr, the time of Nasr, when the soul is extracted and taken out. The hadith informs us when the soul of a sinner is taken out, his nerves get, you know, broken away, and basically it's so painful for a sinner. Whereas when the Malakul Maut, an angel of death, arrives for a mu'min, he comes like a slave in front of the master. Look at the arrangement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we need to behave well towards Allah. We need to remember Allah in our lives. We need to care about His do's and do-nots. Isn't that right? Allah has His own arrangement. The angel of death comes like a slave towards a mu'min. So we find Haris al-Hamdani when he says that he's afraid about the time when the soul is taken out, Sakaratul Maut, and the time when we are crossing over the bridge of Sirat. And we have this hadith narrated from Hazrat Abu Bakr, is the narrator of this hadith, where he says that the Prophet has said, I heard the Prophet saying, La yajuzu ahadun as-sirat illa man kataba lahu aliyun al-jawaz. No one can cross over the bridge of Sirat except the person for whom Imam Ali alayhi salam has written the license. So everyone needs a license written by Imam Ali alayhi salam to be able to cross over the bridge of Waleen and Akhireen, the earlier generations and the later generations, including the Prophets of God. Everybody needs to get a license and permission from Imam Ali alayhi salam to cross the bridge. This is very important. So Imam Ali alayhi salam has said, which is narrated in the history to Haris al-Hamdani, that Imam Ali alayhi salam, Ya Har al-Hamdan, May Yamut Yani. That means whoever dies, he sees me. Everybody sees Imam Ali alayhi salam at the time of death. So this is what we find the hadith from Imam As in the tafsir of Imam Askari al Islam. The hadith says, when a mu'min dies, he says salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
When a mu'min dies, he says, sees the Holy Prophet on his right hand side, and he sees Imam Ali al Islam on the left hand side. We are discussing death and liqa'ullah. And he sees Imam Hassan and Imam Hussain in his front. And he sees all the rest of the Imams around them. And now when the angel of death is arriving, the Prophet says to the angel of death that fulfill my advice towards the mu'min. In other words. And the angel of death requests the Prophet to ask this person to look up. But when the mu'min, the Prophet asks him to look up, and the mu'min sees his place in the paradise. Mu'min, before dying from this world, who abides by the amr and nahi of Allah, the do's and do-nots of the Sharia, a mu'min who is muttaqi and pious, cares about the green lines and the red lines of the Sharia, when he's dying, Prophet asks him to look up, and he sees his place inside the paradise before dying from this world. Every mu'min sees his own place inside the paradise before dying this world. This is the time when the hijabat and curtains are now removed. And that's the time when the tawbah of a person is not accepted either. So if a person says tawbah at this time, this is not accepted. That's the time when even the Fir'aun did tawbah. Isn't that right? When he was drowning in the wave of Nile, And he said that now I believe in the Lord of Musa and Harun. Was it accepted? Somebody came to Imam Ridha alayhi salam and said, why didn't Allah accept the tawbah of Fir'aun when he also repented before dying? And Imam Ridha alayhi salam said, لِأَنَّهُ آمَنَ عِنْدَ رُؤْيَةِ الْبَأْسِ وَالْإِيمَانُ عِنْدَ رُؤْيَةِ الْبَأْسِ غَيْرُ مَقْبُولٍ. Because he became a mu'min after witnessing the death, at the time of witnessing the death. And at the time of witnessing the death, the tawbah is not, this iman is not accepted. At the time, everybody becomes a mu'min, in other words. You know, that's what we learn in the light of the hadith. That even, you know, even the Fir'aun said that, isn't that right? So that's not a big deal. When the curtains are now removed and you start seeing the angel of death coming towards you, now you say, I believe in God and I accept everything. So what's the benefit? You did what you did throughout your life in the name of freedom and democracy and women's rights and human rights, isn't it right? And freedom of speech, and now you at the end, when you see the realities of the world of hidden realities, Alamul Malakut, now you try to say that, you know, this is a tawbah. Malakul Maut says that this tawbah is, now you are doing tawbah, and obviously this is not accepted. This guy who does the tawbah at the end says, Ya Hasrata ala ma farratu fi jambillah. So he feels so much repentance. I wish, see what kind of behavior I did in the presence, in the dargah, in the mahwar, in the presence of Allah. Now he realized that the curtains are removed. No, I was in the presence of Allah back then in the life of dunya. Allah was watching, angels were watching, Prophet was watching, but I ignored all of them and I did what I did. But this tawbah is now no longer acceptable in the eyes of Allah. So what we need to do as mu'mins is to realize our responsibility before the time of death arrives. Hazrat Dawood ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam had a servant in his house, and this female servant, she shut the door in the night. Just as usual, every night she used to shut the door. When she shut the door of the house of Prophet Dawood alayhi salam, she saw somebody standing inside the house. And the narration tells us that she said to that person, Man adkhalaka dar, who let you inside the house? And he said, Ana alladhi adkhulu ala al-muluk bighayri idhnin. I am the one who enter over the kings without the permission. Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam was listening to this conversation from the inside. And he realized that this is the Malakul Maut, Israel, angel of death. Who can do that kind of conversation other than him? So Prophet understood, Prophet Dawood understood, this is the angel of death. So he said to the angel of death, Halla arsalta. You know, I wish you had sent some messenger to us before arriving yourself, in other words, before you come to us yourself. I wish you had sent some messenger, that means some sign, so we can be prepared. So angel of death replies back to Prophet Dawood alayhi salam, قَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ كَثِيرًا. We sent a lot of messengers to you. And then Prophet Dawood says, then angel of death says, أَيْنَ أَبُوكَ, where's your dad? Aina Abuka, where's your brother? Aina Jaruka, where's your neighbor? Wa ma'arifuka, wa jaruka wa ma'arifuka, and where's your neighbor and your friends? And he said, Matu, one of them died. And angel of death replied back, they were my messengers towards you. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So what I was saying to you, brothers and sisters, is that in the tafsir of Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi
salam,
the mu'min is dying, the woman who abides by the ma'ruf and munkar, the good and the bad, the do's and do-nots of the Sharia, he is dying away. He sees the Prophet on the right hand side, Imam Ali on the left, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein in his front, and the rest of the Imams around them. And he sees the angel of death, and he asks the Prophet to tell him to raise his head. And the mu'min raises his head and sees his own place in the paradise. See, remember that this is not part of the hadith I'm informing you. Remember, this is the time when the aqriba, the relatives, the friends are surrounding a person and they are crying. And then, right? The friends and the family members are surrounding the person and they are crying. Because we don't see, we have those hijabas and we don't see those realities. The woman, it addresses that he asked to take his soul be taken out immediately so he can reach that high level that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for him, whereas the people who are standing around him are crying. So, obviously, this is how the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam do towards those who are behaving well. They care about the do's and do-nots of the Sharia. And we find that because it's Imam Ali alayhi salam, Prophet has mentioned himself in his hadith that Imam Ali alayhi salam is the distributor. He's the one who distributes, who will distribute the humans between the heaven and the hell. Isn't that right? Prophet has said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me three attributes. وَعَلِيٌّ مُشَارِكِي فِيهَا Allah gave me three attributes where Ali is a partner with me in those three. وَأَعْتَ عَلِيًّا سَلَاسًا وَلَمْ أُشَارِكْهُ فِيهَا And Allah gave three attributes to Ali and I'm not a partner in those three. So Allah gave me three things and Ali is a partner in those three. And Allah gave Ali three things and I am not a partner in those three. Obviously the three things that Prophet was given, he says, Al-Kawsaru li wa Aliyun saqihe. Kawsar, the fountain in the paradise, it belongs to the Holy Prophet. Every single human is going to come to the fountain of Kawthar, but only the mu'mineen are eligible to drink from that fountain. So who is going to provide the drink? The Saqi, the drink provider of the fountain of Kawthar, is what the Prophet himself said in his hadith, Al-Kawthar li, the fountain of Kawthar belongs to me, but Ali is the drink provider. Wa Aliyun Saqihe. And then he said that Liwa'ul hamdi li wa aliyun hamiluhu. The flag of hamd, flag of the praise of Allah. The name that of the flag, this Prophet owns this flag because Allah has awarded him this flag. The name of the flag of the Prophet is called Liwa'ul hamd, the flag of the praise. And the person who carries the flag, Prophet says, wa aliyun hamiluhu. The carrier of this flag is Ali. So again, Imam Ali is partner in that fadilat, in this superior spiritual level. Imam Ali is part of that with the Holy Prophet. And then he said, al jannatu wa naru li wa aliyun qasimuhuma. That means the paradise and the hell belong to me. This Prophet owns the paradise and the hellfire. It's his. Wa Aliyun qasimuhuma. But the distributor of people towards the heaven and the hell is Ali.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Nare Hadari.
So this is the status that that Imam Ali alayhi salam enjoys. He is the Qasimul Nar Iman Janna Aliyun Hubbuhu Junna. Is it right? Aliyun Hubbuhu Junna Imamul Ins Wal Jinna Wasiyya Mustafa Haqqan. Is it right? Imam Ali al-Salam, his love is Junnah, which in Arabic means body armor, a shield that protects you from the hellfire. If you have the love of Imam Ali al-Salam, your body and soul, fire is haram to touch your body or the soul, because you have a shield there to protect you from the flames of the fire. And the name of that shield is the love of Imam Ali al-Salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
But remember, the love of Imam Ali al-Salam is only proven when we disassociate ourselves from the enemies of Imam Ali al-Salam. Because Imam Sadiq al-Salam has already said that, you know, كَذِبَ مَنْ زَعَمَ مَحَبَّتَنَا وَلَمْ يَتَبَرَّأْ مِنْ عَدُوِّنَا. The one who claims, the one who thinks that he loves us but did not disassociate from our enemy is lying. So if I am not disassociating myself from the Yazidis of yesterday and today, then this is not accepted by Imam Sadiq. This claim of love is not accepted by the Imam. So in order for me to prove that I truly love the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, I need to prove that I am disassociating, prove the love through my practical disassociation and condemning the enemies of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. So Imam Ali al-Islam's love serves as a shield blocking the flames of fire. So not just that, but the hadith informs us when a mu'min is crossing over the bridge of fire, the hellfire itself will address the mu'min by saying, Juz ya mu'min fa'inna nuraka atfa'a lahabi. That means, cross over me, O mu'min, because your nur and divine light of your soul is extinguishing my flame. The hellfire's flames are getting to extinguish because of the nur of the love of Imam Ali al-Salam that a mu'min is carrying in his soul. So the hellfire itself is going to talk. It's not an ordinary fire like the fire of this dunya. It doesn't have aql. Doesn't understand things. The fire in the Day of Judgment has aql. So it can distinguish between a mu'min and kafir. It can recognize who's a mu'min and munafiq and who is a kafir. And it will talk to people according to their beliefs and their behaviors. So this is the status of the lover of Imam Ali al-Salam. So what is the status of Imam Ali al-Salam himself? When one of the lovers of Imam Ali is crossing over the hell, and the hell would say to him, then move over me, that means don't stay here. Otherwise the flame of mine will be extinguished. So you can imagine what would be the status of Amir al-Mu'mineen wa Imam al-Muttaqeen. So people should be very careful. The best friend, brothers and sisters, we have that is going to help us after the death is our own taqwa. Our scholars of akhlaq say that you have three friends: your money, your relatives and friends, and your taqwa. Your money only stays with you as long as you are alive. You cannot take your millions into the grave. Your friends and family members can only accompany you up to the grave. Nobody enters inside the grave with you. That's the end of their friendship. Isn't it right? They can only get along with you in the grave. The only thing that gets along with you and stays with you forever and will be resurrected with you on the Day of Judgment and will stay with you forever for infinity is your own taqwa. That's the best friend of the human. And Quran has already announced, Al-akhillahu yawma'idhin ba'duhum li-ba'din adu illa al-muttaqeen. So we learn in the light of the verse that all the friends on that day are actually enemies towards each other except the muttaqi people. They are the ones who are actually friends towards each other. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
So, when the people are crying next to this person who is departing, leaving this world, the angel of death says to them, مِمَّا الْفَزَعْ وَفِيمَا الْجَزَعْ. So why are you people, why are you crying? And why are you anxious? For what you are anxious? I didn't come here out of my own personal desire. In other words, I came here upon the hukum of Allah. We need to realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hukum is there. And when Allah's time that He has fixed for our death arrives, nothing can stop us. La yastakhiruna sa'atan, Quran says, La yastakhiruna sa'atan wa la yastakhimun. People are not going to be, you know, getting delayed for a while or getting die ahead of that time which is fixed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The time of death is fixed. Angel of death is one of the muqarrab and close angels of Allah. He's not coming out of his own personal choice. That's what Allah is sending him. So we need to be prepared for our death. One of the urafa, one of the great scholars of ours, was crying at the time of death. And somebody asked him that, why are you crying? And he said, Asluku tariqan lam asluku abada. Now I'm about to tread a path that I never tread in my life. Isn't it right? This is the first time we are treading that path. وَأَسْكُنُ بَيْتًا لَمْ أَسْكُنْهُ أَبَدًا. I'm now about to reside in a house where I never lived ever in my life. بَيْتُ الْوَحْشَ بَيْتُ الْظُلْمَ. The grave has several names. It's a house of scared. Isn't it right? House of loneliness. And we are going to stay in that grave. What kind of mattresses we need for ourselves? You know, memory foams. Some people cannot go to sleep until they have nice mattresses and pillows. How much we care about our comfort in this life when we are sleeping? So how much we need to care about a place where we will be sleeping for longer, much, much longer durations as compared to our lives? The day of judgment is way too far. We don't know when is the time of the zuhur of the imam. Maybe tomorrow, maybe 1,000 years from now. Allah knows. And after the zuhur is the raj'at, returning back. وَبِإِيَّابِكُمْ مُوقِنْ. We say in the ziyarat, إِنَّ رَجْعَتَكُمْ حَقٍ. You know, your turning back is haqq. So we believe in the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt and himself returning back to this world. And there will be government of Ahlul Bayt established. Isn't it right? For how long? Allah knows. And then later on will be the day. The judgment is really too far. So obviously we will be sleeping in our grave for much longer durations as compared to our life in this world. How much do we care about that? And Imam Sadiq al-Islam has informed us.
Allahumma salli ala Adam
kafala ma'ahu fi qabrihi sittatu suwarin. When a person dies, six forms, six shapes come enter with him in the grave. And I just want to mention one, that he says that the noor, six noor in other words, are entering into the grave of a woman. The noor on the right is the noor of prayers. And see, when we put the person in the grave, we always tilt him towards the qibla. Isn't that right? The whole body should be facing towards the qibla. Even the nails of his toes should be facing towards the qibla, our Sharia says. Right? So basically you're tilting the whole body towards the qibla direction. If qibla is that way, you tilt the whole man, person like this, straight, vertical. So what it means? Imam Sadiq Islam has already told us that the six noors, in other words, enter into the grave of a person, and the noor on the right hand side is the noor of his prayers. And we are tempting the person on his right hand side. So basically a person is sleeping on the mattress of the noor of his prayers. You want to know how comfortable you will be in the grave? Look at the status of your own prayers, the way you are praying in this world. That's the mattress that you will be sleeping on, because we tip the person on his right, and right hand side is the noor of the prayers. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So, a person drinks from the fountain of Kawthar. Not just a person sees his place in the paradise before departing this dunya, but he also drinks from the fountain of Kawthar, which belongs to the Holy Prophet, through the drink provided through the hand of Imam Ali alayhi salam. He drinks from the fountain of Kawthar. This is a treatment that Allah is doing towards a mu'min who abides by the Sharia, the do's and do nots of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we find that when the person is laid into the grave, the hadith informs us the first gift that Allah sends into the grave of a mu'min is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this news is informed to the mu'min, inna Allah, and this news is informed, ghafartu laka wa li jami'i man salla alayk, that I have forgiven you and all those who prayed upon you. So it's very important, brothers and sisters, when you hear the news of a mu'min dying somewhere, you take out time from your busy schedules and jobs, and you're going to participate in the janazah prayers of a mu'min. If you happen to pray in the janazah prayers of a mu'min, not if that mu'min gets forgiven, you are automatically forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And not just that, when another hadith informs us that whoever prays on the janazah of a mu'min, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down 70,000 angels to pray on his janazah. And every step, if you participate in the janazah prayers of one moment, 70,000 angels will be sent by Allah to participate. See, this is a very important information. Don't take it less and unimportant, because what is happening, what's going to happen when 70,000 angels are coming and praying upon you and reading the Salatul Mayyit? It means 70,000 infallible, masoom individuals are uttering and saying the statement in front of Allah, Allahumma inna la na'lamu minhu illa khayra. Oh my Lord, we don't know nothing about this moment except khair and goodness. Or, Allahumma aghfir li hadha al-mayyit, oh my Lord, forgive this dead person. When 70,000 infallible, masoom individuals are praying to Allah for your forgiveness, the dua of a masoom is not rejected. So let's not underestimate the importance of this hadith, which informs us 70,000 angels participate in the janazah of the mu'min who participated in the janazah of another mu'min. And every step of your way that you travel while you are in the funeral procession of a mu'min, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives one qirat of zamarrud. The hadith says, qirat is equal to the mountain of Uhud. That much zamarrud is given that to that person in the reward. He says salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So we obviously need to be thankful towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon this behavior. But it requires that we are cautious. You know, one of the scholars said that, talking about death, I don't know whether the Munkir and Nakir are going to arrive in my grave or the Mubashir and Bashir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the Munkir and Nakir to the sinners, and the good doers and Muttaqi people don't see the face of Munkir and Nakir. Munkir and Nakir are two close angels of Allah, but they are Karibul Manzar. They are ugly looking. Ugly looking angels. Karibul Manzar. For a mu'min person, look at Allah's arrangements. He never sees the Munkir and Nakir in the grave. Instead, he sees another two angels of Allah, which are good looking, and they are called Bashir and Mubashir. So one of the scholars was saying, I don't know whether the Munkir and Nakir are going to come into my grave, or Bashir and Mubashir, we don't know. So we need to be afraid. I don't know whether the angels of azab and punishment will embrace me, or the angels of rahmat and mercy will embrace me when I die. I don't know what will be a status of mine in the terms of the tightness of the grave. Some people may have a very tight grave. For some people, the grave expands till matil basar, till the extent of their eye vision, how far they can see. They have such a wide and far and wide and expanded grave, depending on their taqwa. So this all depends on how much taqwa we have, you know. And obviously, ghurbat and loneliness and zulmat. I don't know whether the grave will be zulmani, having the darkness, There is no light there, there is no torch, there is no flashlight. Isn't that? We need to carry the noor in our souls to illuminate our residence after death. And that illumination comes from the soul, the noor of the correct and haq belief system that you can carry with you, and the noor of the haq actions and taqwa that you can carry with you, and the noor of the good spiritual moral attributes that you can carry with you. This is going to illuminate your grave. And I don't know whether I'm going to get any drink to consume or not, because there is no drive-through restaurant available inside the grave. Or on the Day of Judgment, everybody will be hungry and thirsty. There's no food. Who is there to cook food and provide food for you? Who is there to provide water or any drink for you? There is no such arrangement. If you want to get food, and if you want to get the thirst removed, we need to arrange for that right now. This is the time to arrange for the food and drink on the Day of Judgment for you, so you never become thirsty again in that field of Day of Judgment. So once we drink the drink of Kausar, that's what it provides. Yeah, we don't get thirsty again. But for the Kufar and Munafiqeen, there is no drink to be provided. So this is something which we have to be worried about. But we find that when this fear arrives, it makes us cautious in our behavior. And when we become cautious and muttaqi towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the scare of death is removed. Just like it was removed for Hazrat Qasim ibn al-Hasan alayhi wa salam. You know, when the son of the Masoom was asked, كَيْفَ الْمَوْتُ عِنْدَكَ? How is death in your eyes? And the son of the Masoom replies, أَحْلَى مِنَ الْعَسَلِ, sweeter than the honey. This is what the Ahlul Bayt teach us. They consider death to be sweeter than the honey. So we find that the followers of Ahlul Bayt are supposed to follow the same track we find in the Khaymah, in the tent of Abu Fadl Abbas. That's where Imam Hussain alayhi salam was talking about the list of Shuhada, the Diwan of Shuhada, reading from the Diwan of Shuhada, who is going to become Shaheed tomorrow on the day of Ashura. In the night before Ashura, in the Khaymah and tent of Abu Fadl Abbas, Imam Hussain is reading the names of all those who will become Shaheed tomorrow. What a bright! What a bright for those people. And Imam Hussain and Salam, another narration we learned from the light of narration, Imam Hussain showed their levels of paradise to all of his companions in the night before Ashura. They saw their levels in the paradise. They deserve to see. So we find when the names of the Shuhada were mentioned by Imam Hussain, he did not mention the name of Hazrat Qasim. And you know, Hazrat Qasim, a young boy, approximately 13 years of age, what will be your thoughts? You know, a person like Hazrat Qasim ibn Hasan, a son, a member of Ahlul Bayt, so much love of Shahadat and martyrdom in his soul, and so much love towards Imam Hussein, and so much love towards meeting with Allah and death and Shahadat, but he didn't hear his own name. So the narration says, Qasim ibn Hasan, he walks, he goes and sits on a corner and starts to cry. And then Qasim started to cry because he did not hear his name in the list of the Shuhada. And we find that after a while, when he was crying, he recalled that his great father, Imam Hasan, has told him that when the musibat arrives, when the hard time arrives, in other words, and I'm paraphrasing this in my own words, when the hard time arrives, then open up this statement. There was a statement that Imam Hasan has written and given it to Imam Hazrat Qasim alayhi salam, and he recalled, and that statement of his father, he opened up that piece of thing, and that's where Imam Hasan had written, Bunayya Qasim, Adrik Ammaka al-Husayn, my son Qasim, help your uncle Hussein. Al-Qasim became so happy. He became so happy when he discovered this statement of his father. Now he can get a permission easily from his uncle Imam Hussein to go for the Shahadat and martyrdom. So Hazrat Qasim comes. He comes to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He comes to his uncle and he shows this same to his uncle Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein sees the written statement of his beloved brother Imam Hassan, and he says to Hazrat Qasim, "I did not mention your name, but that doesn't mean that you are not included in the list of shuhada. Even not only you, but your little brother Ali al-Asghar is also part of the shuhada." Then when Qasim hears that, look at the ghairat of Hazrat Qasim. He says to Imam Hassan, saying, "Hal yasiluna ila al-khiyam?" Are the enemies, will the Ashqiya reach the tents? Because obviously, how can they kill Hazrat Ali al-Asghar? You know, are they going to reach the Qiyam, the tents? Imam Hussein alayhi salam consoles him and comforts him by saying, "I'm going to carry him towards the Maqtal. But I would like to say to Hazrat Qasim ibn Hassan that your ghairat did not allow to tolerate that the Ashqiya and enemies could attack the Qiyam of the ladies and Ahlul Haram. But please come and see, day after the Asr of Ashura, when the enemies have started to attack, and they were running after the ladies of Ahlul Haram, and poking them with their spears to take their hijab off and burning down the tents. So we find Imam Hussein said that, now tomorrow, when the day of Ashura arrives, and it is the day of Shahadat, brothers and sisters, but still, everybody is going to be Shaheed, but you know, it is still very tough for Imam Hussein, alayhi salam. We cannot understand his pain. It is still very tough for him to give permission to the only son, of Imam Hassan alayhi salam, of that age, Hazrat Qasim, who is going to become Shaheed. How can Imam Hussein allow him? Look at the history. The history says Hazrat Qasim came to seek permission, but his uncle is not giving permission to him. Imam Hussein is not giving. So he started to kiss the hands of Imam Hussein. Look at the thing that Imam Hazrat Qasim adopted. He started to kiss the hands of Imam Hussein. And then he fell himself down. He fell down over the feet of his uncle, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein raised him. Imam Hussein hugged him. And both uncle and his brother's son, now both are hugging each other and they are crying. And both of them fell unconscious over the soil of Karbala. Now the narration says, obviously if somebody becomes unconscious, what do you do naturally? You throw water on their faces. But what can Hazrat Zainab do when Hazrat Zainab doesn't have the water to make them conscious again? She was crying and her tears were falling over the face. And because of her tears, Imam Hussein alayhi salam again came into conscience. And when both of them were conscious again, Hazrat Qasim was given the permission. Now the narration says, when Hazrat Qasim goes towards the Maqtal and battlefield, that's where Amama was put over his head. And you know, in the adab and etiquette of the person who dies, we have it in Mustahab to put Amama over his head. And it is Mustahab to open up both the corners and sides of the Amama and put it over the chest of the person. Imam Hussein did the same. See, the same was done to us as Hazrat Qasim. The same was done. The both sides of the Amama were open and they were in the front. And when Qasim was about to leave, we find the narration says, Imam Hussein opened up, he ripped apart the front of the shirt of Hazrat Qasim. And when it was asked from him, he said, "This is the symbol of Yatim." This is the symbol of orphan. Hazrat Qasim was an orphan of Imam Hassan. Now we find Hazrat Qasim is going away towards the Maqtal. How much Imam Hussein is worried about Hazrat Qasim? Well, finally, after he did his battle and he became injured and he fell over the ground and he calls his uncle Imam Hussein for help, we find Imam Hussein rushes to help Hazrat Qasim. But we find the horses went over from one side to the other.
ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إن الله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعدها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين نصيب الولي الفقير قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم رك على الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لمن تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من انصاره واشياعه واتباعه واعوانه بجاه محمد واله الطاهرين يا حسين
يا حسين يا حسين.